go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we will explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as your parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we welcome you, and we want to catch you up just a little bit. We're doing a series of broadcasts that identify the need for spiritual rebuilding and renewal in the seven churches found in chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation. These sacred scriptures have been so enlightening, Peter, and they're really encouraging, especially today, the times in which we find ourselves.
Right.
There's so much being shaken, both in the church and in the world. And the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, brings the message of Jesus Christ as Victor King.
Right. This book puts our feet on solid ground, I think, Leslie.
So what we're hoping to do is that through these broadcasts, we want to show how Jesus has actually been calling parishes to rebuild and renew all throughout history, even dating back to those first century Christians.
Right, and really, Leslie, six of these churches needed to rebuild. So I think we're on task here. So in these broadcasts, as Leslie's alluding to, we're pulling together the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, and we'll be alluding to catechism today, the lives of the saints, the teaching of the church. We seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Now, last time, together, we completed the fifth church in the book of Revelation, the church at Sardis. In each letter to these seven churches, we've been learning about each specific city, along with the characteristic of Jesus Christ that was spoken of in Revelation chapter 1.
Right, in the vision of Jesus.
Yes. Jesus gave almost every church four, we call them the four C's, Leslie, a commendation, a criticism, a correction, and then a crown if they indeed would overcome as he challenged them to. And as we have previously mentioned, this would be a great structure for a church staff to look at when you look at the parish. A commendation, a criticism, a correction, and a crown would help us to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow.
Well, it's interesting, Peter, how many times Jesus ties his message to the history or the background of each particular city. And we're going to continue to see this as we study and make application to these last two churches that Jesus addresses.
Right. So let's read what the Lord says to the next church here in the book of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia. And this is Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Let's enjoy the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those in the synagogue of Satan who say that they're Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you've kept my word of patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from my God out of heaven and out of my own name. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Boy, those are powerfully beautiful scriptures.
Yes, they are, Leslie.
So, Peter, as we've previously done with the other five churches of Revelation, we want to start by giving some background on the city of Philadelphia for our listeners. Could you start with your historical overview?
Yes, indeed. And this is important, as we just mentioned, because many times there was, between the history of the city and the church itself, the organization, the exhortation, I should say, represented the church as well. The biblical city was located about 28 miles southeast of the city of Sardis. It was the youngest of the seven cities whose churches are addressed in these letters, Leslie. Philadelphia was founded around 150 BC by King Attalus of Pergamum, whose nickname, interestingly, was Philadelphus, which means lover of a brother. This man was noted for the admiration and love that he had for his own brother, Eumenes, and he named the city in honor of him.
Yes, and our own city of Philadelphia in the U.S. means brotherly love, or represents brotherly love.
Right. So one feature about the city was that the city was destroyed by an earthquake in 17 AD, along with Sardis and other cities in that locality. So most of the others recovered rather quickly, but the aftershocks, interestingly, continued in Philadelphia for quite a few years, with the result that the people had to flee the city on and off repeatedly. Tiberius Caesar helped Philadelphia to recover from that earthquake, and out of gratitude, the city changed its name to Neo Caesarea, which means New Caesar, and for a while it bore that name. I mention these facts, Leslie, because they have a bearing that we'll find out next week on the promises that Jesus makes to this church that's connected to the city's history, interestingly enough.
Well, Peter, we know that this church of Philadelphia is actually unique from all the other churches. And what makes it so unique?
So this church is unique because it's the only church the Lord has no complaint against. This is the church that, in fact, delights our Lord Jesus. And one thing before we take a break that is unique about this first century church. In all the other letters, our Lord uses symbols from John's vision in chapter 1 to describe himself. But in this letter, Leslie, Jesus makes no reference to that vision. Rather, he uses other titles to describe himself. He tells them plainly who he is and what he does. Who he is said to be the Holy One and the True One. He is the Holy One because he's morally perfect, right? His character is without flaw and blemish and sinless. He's also the True One as he describes himself. He is genuine reality. In fact, he is reality itself. He's the one behind which all reality resists. That reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Leslie, in Colossians 1:15, where it says, Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is who he is, total reality.
Well, it's time to take a short break now, and when we return, we will continue to look at the unique way Jesus presents himself to this church and how the idea of the open door relates to all of us, our families, and yes, even our Catholic parishes. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're focusing on the sixth of the seven local churches or parishes in chapters 2 and 3, and that is the Church of Philadelphia. The church did not receive a condemnation, as all the other churches have received, but rather a commendation and a powerful promise. So, Peter, could you begin to unpack for us what the Lord promised this parish?
Leslie, I love these scriptures, and I'm excited to be talking about these today. The scripture begins with the following description of Jesus. It says, "He holds the key of David." Now, this is a reference to an incident recorded in the 22nd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. It was in the days of Hezekiah the king. There was a courtier, we would call him today like a chief of staff, for he was in charge of the whole palace of the king. His name was Shebna, and he had been caught in a personal scam run for his own benefit. And as a result, God said a very unusual, very descriptive thing about him. He said, "I will take him and whirl him around and around, kind of like a discus thrower, and hurl him into a far country." That's, an again, Isaiah 22. It was a prediction that he would be sent to Babylon. He then would be replaced by a godly man named Eliakim, of whom God said this, "I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. When he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Now, interestingly enough, the Lord refers back to this passage in Isaiah and applies it to himself. For he said, "I'm the one who shuts and no one can open, and opens and no one can shut." Leslie, he wants us to know he cannot be opposed. He governs the events of history on earth. At this time in Revelation, the church really needed to know that. And I say in our day, we need to know that too. He will open some doors, and he will close other doors, right? What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. No human power can resist his will. Now he tells the church, beginning in verse 8, how he will use this power to open and to shut.
Well, after Jesus said he holds the key of David, the scripture goes on to say, "I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name." Peter, what is the significance of these scriptures for us here today in the 21st century?
Well, to a church, going back to Philadelphia and then moving ahead to the 21st century, the church, like the Church of Philadelphia, the Lord said he would open up doors of ministry and service that no one could shut them. Now, I like this idea of the open door. The Apostle Paul uses this analogy about himself and his ministry all throughout the New Testament. On his second missionary journey, he tried to go into the province of Asia to preach the gospel, but the scripture says he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. It was a shut door. Then he tried to go into Bithynia on the southern shore of the Black Sea, but it was not allowed by the Lord either. Another shut door. But when he came to Troas, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia, and he learned that the Lord had opened up a door for him into Europe. Paul's commitment to walk through the open door changed the history of the whole Western world, didn't it? And affecting all of civilization since that time. It was an open door of tremendous significance, which the Lord opened for Paul. But then, going back to Asia, he did come back to Asia. In 1 Corinthians 16, he says to the Ephesians, the capital of Asia, "A great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." So the door which had been closed to him before, Leslie, was opened to him later by the Lord. Isn't it a reminder to us that God's timing is so critical for all of us, all right? God's timing is the most important thing when it comes to the open door.
So we can see that the first key to rebuilding and renewal that we find in the Church of Philadelphia is the promise that Jesus will give an open door to those who are faithful to him. That's you and me, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And the reality of the open door is just as important for us today as it was for those first century Christians. I know, Peter, this has always been very important to you as well. You pray for open doors, and it's something that you teach about when you're doing classes on evangelization about the open door. So I know you've got some great stories about open doors that the Lord has given you.
Well, there's one, Leslie, that's very fresh because we were involved in it last week. And going back to when I was an evangelical pastor in the 1980s, God opened up a large door for me to go to Africa and train evangelical pastors. And I made several trips to Africa and did leadership seminars for hundreds of different leaders over that period of time in the 80s. And then also, if you remember, that we brought several of the African leaders to the United States to visit different Christian communities that we were involved with and were networked in. And then in our own Christian community that I was pastoring at that time, we brought three Africans from northern Nigeria to live in our community for several months. And we met together every morning, 5 days a week, and went through principles of godly Christian leadership.
And that's where our bond with Africa was created.
Yeah, exactly. And so fast forward to today.
Or 13 years ago when you came back to the Catholic Church.
Yeah. And well, fast forward from there even to today, that this love for Africa has continued with us. And we've always wondered, how would that relate to our Catholic faith now? And interestingly enough, the Lord has opened up an opportunity for us to send thousands of rosaries to Africa. And we've developed a little ministry called Rosaries for Africa. And we send rosaries to two priests in the country of Malawi. That's a small landlocked country on the eastern side of Africa. And then, interestingly enough, again, this is not coincidental, we send rosaries to the Diocese of Enugu in Africa, of which we have a relationship with a priest here, Father Hillary, and it's his diocese that we're sending these rosaries to. And so it's a very exciting thing, and it all started with an open door, right?
That's right. Well, it's about time to take another break, and when we return, we're going to go on to discuss just how we can begin to walk through these open doors, these opportunities from Jesus Christ, and we're going to take what he said to this ancient church in Philadelphia and apply it to our own Catholic Church today. So you don't want to miss this. Stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
What happens when you support Catholic Radio Indy? Local parishes and organizations have a resource to share their message. Listeners of all persuasions get to hear the unfiltered truths of the Catholic faith, and maybe, just maybe, you'll have a share in saving a soul for Christ. Won't you join our mission? Call 317-870-8400 or give online at catholicradioindy.org.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing our series in the Book of Revelation by studying the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 and making application to our own lives. In our last segment, we discussed how in Revelation 3, 8 through 13, Jesus presents himself to the Church of Philadelphia. And he presents himself as the one who controls the doors of our lives. And Peter, just what does Jesus reveal about this church that caused him to give them an open door?
Yes. So in verse 8, it's important to note in the original Greek language here, that the words, I know that you have a little power, the word I know is not in the Greek. And another Greek word that's important in that sentence, a word that is there, is the word for power is dunamis. We get that word dynamite from that word. But that word I know is not in the Greek text. So what it literally should read, Leslie, is this: because you have a little power, number one, and have kept my word, number two, and have not denied my name. Those are the three reasons that the Lord opened up doors for people in this church in Philadelphia.
Well, we need to dig into that because that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and we're going to today as well as next week. The church is being given three reasons why the Lord opened up doors for them. What does the text actually says is, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut because you have a little power, you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. So we must be stewards of God's power that he apportions to us. That's one of the things that we're going to finish off with today, that God gives power to this church. He gave just a little power, but they became good stewards of God's power.
Well, let's stop there, Peter, and talk a little bit about the concept of a little power. As you mentioned, the word used in this text for power is the Greek word dunamis, and this is the word where we get dynamite from this word in scripture, but also it's associated with Jesus telling the disciples before he ascended into heaven that they would receive power from on high, dunamis. So how should we interpret this? And why Jesus was saying this in such a way to the Philadelphia church about a little power.
Yeah, Leslie, and here the catechism is really helpful here. In paragraph 799, 800, and 801 in the catechism, the church helps us to see there are different levels of charisms or gifts of the Holy Spirit that God gives to us. And it's in those charisms or Holy Spirit gifts that power is given for us to give to others. So I think I'd like to read a couple excerpts from these places in the catechism that talks about what I mean. It says, first of all, in paragraph 799, whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the church. Okay, so the Holy Spirit gives us charisms, but why does he give them, Leslie? To benefit who? Ourselves?
No, the church.
The church, exactly. Then in paragraph 800, the catechism goes on and says, charisms are to be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them and by all members of the church as well. They are wonderfully rich grace for the apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ. Now, this is what Jesus was commending this church for, that they had received a small amount of power in their charisms, but they were using them and they were being faithful stewards of it. And then finally, this is talking about the leadership in a parish and their attitude towards the charisms of their flock. It says, no charism is exempt from being referred and submitted to the church's shepherds, right? That's certainly important. Their office is not intended to extinguish the Spirit. So the pastors, their call is not to diminish the power of the Spirit in their parish, but to test things and to hold fast to what is good. And then one last paragraph, Leslie, that sums up everything I just said is in paragraph 2003 in the Catechism, and it really brings home the point that I think we're trying to say. And it says this, grace also includes the gifts that the Spirit grants to associate us with his work. Okay, that work is really important, to enable us to collaborate in the salvation of others and the growth of the body of Christ. There are furthermore special graces, also called charisms, after the Greek term by St. Paul, meaning favor. And whatever their character, and this is so important, sometimes they're extraordinary, such as the gift of miracles or tongues. Charisms are oriented towards sanctifying grace and are intended for the common good of the church. And there's a very important point in the catechism that brings home that relates to this church in Philadelphia. The catechism says there's extraordinary gifts or extraordinary powers of the Holy Spirit, but there's just ordinary ones and ordinary power. And it seems like this church had received an ordinary power. For instance, I think if we thought of Padre Pio, I would say that he definitely functioned in the extraordinary gifts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've always coveted his gift of bilocation, too. You might say that the American church right now, Leslie, I think is like Philadelphia, that has an ordinary or little power. Like a Catholic ministry that we've interviewed here, the Encounter Ministries.
They're working on this, aren't they?
Tom Ponchek. They recognize that, and they're trying to teach the American church how to be open to and receive more extraordinary gifts.
Well, all of this teaches us something very important. It says that an open door, the way I'm hearing this, Peter, is given when a church fulfills the conditions that will allow it to move through that open door. And that first condition is that they are being faithful to steward that portion or that power of the Spirit that's entrusted to them, even if it's just a little.
Yeah, exactly.
And the church in Philadelphia, because they were good stewards of the power of the Holy Spirit, even though it was just a little, they knew that God would open a door for them for continued good works. And Peter, I know we're going to spend some time talking about good works and what that means for all of us, because each time Jesus addressed the churches, he always referenced their works. He said, I know your works or your deeds.
Yeah, and that reminds me that those good works, St. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2:10, where he says, we're his workmanship, and we've been created for good works by Christ Jesus, that we would walk in them. And again, referring to the Greek, we love to use that once in a while. That word workmanship is the Greek word poema, which can be from which we, Leslie, we get the word poem. And a lot of translations translate that we are God's masterpiece. And we are his masterpiece so that we might walk in those good works. And Leslie, I think it's time for us to stop and pray as we pull these things together and ask God to help us to be like the Church of Philadelphia. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you for your word and your scripture that calls us back to you every time we look at it and reflect upon it. We pray, O Lord, even if you've given us just a little power individually in our families or in our parishes, that we just have a small measure of the Spirit. We pray that you would teach us to use what you've given us to go on mission, to go through the open door like Jesus said he would give to this church. Please give us open doors and give us the grace and wisdom to walk through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the wonderful rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you would like to hear our past programs, we welcome you to go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, where you can access all our previous broadcasts and become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.